You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Was Jesus' gospel different than Paul's gospel? Maybe you're hearing from some of these influencers that are out there today. They're actually not new. People have claimed this for many, many hundreds of years. But today, you know, with YouTube and Instagram, it's getting more and more popular. And so you'll find people out there who say these kinds of things. I'll show you one of those examples just in just a second. They'll say, look, I love what Jesus has to say. He's great. I mean, he's kind, he's loving, he's generous. You know, he was Jewish and was just basically telling people to follow the Jewish laws. And then they listen to Paul, who, by the way, wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, and they say, I don't like this guy. Paul is saying some harsh things. Paul's got different kinds of things to say. And so you'll find these influencers out there, and beware of them because they're heretics. You'll find these influencers out there who say this kind of thing. They say, look, Jesus is great. Read the red letters of your Bible, but don't trust Paul. Paul cannot be trusted. So they'll talk about Pauline Christianity versus the Christianity of Jesus. And usually these people are simply universalists who are trying to tell you that Jesus was a universalist as well, meaning that Jesus's gospel was just be a good person and everyone's going to be just fine. Well, this guy is one of those influencers, and I want to take a listen to what he says, and then we're going to go to scripture together, and I'm going to give you some good, solid teaching on how to think about this kind of heresy, because it's dangerous, and I want to make sure you don't fall for it. Take a listen.
The original gospel of Jesus was and is so different than the Christian religion's version of the gospel, which, you know, if I had to distill it, I would say you have Paul's gospel, which is salvation by faith alone. You just have to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that's it. That's the gospel. But then you have the gospel of James the Just, the brother of Jesus and the 12 disciples, who writes in the book of James, faith without works is dead. Your works, your righteousness, your purification, the way you live and show up in the world as the Christ shows your salvation, not just what you confess you believe with your mouth. And that was really, if you read the red letters of the gospel, that was Jesus's message was, you know, he even said to one group of people, don't come to me calling me Lord, Lord, and expect you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And he says, away from me, you who practice wickedness. But they're calling him Lord. I thought that was the whole thing. That's what Paul said. So those are two very different gospels, right? And where did Jesus get this gospel if it wasn't the, you know, kind of blood sacrifice gospel of Paul? Where did Jesus derive his teachings from?
All right, so let's take a look at the passage that he's talking about. Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Okay, we're good so far, right? This is what this guy is preaching. He's actually quoting scripture appropriately. The problem is he's applying it wrong. I'll show you how in a second. Verse 22, Jesus said, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, verse 23, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So Jesus is saying right here, look, I want you to pay attention to my teaching. I want to make sure, Jesus is saying to a bunch of Jewish people in the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, I want to make sure that you understand God's law matters. How you live matters. That is definitely a teaching of Jesus. That's not at issue here. What Jesus is doing here is he's trying to set up in the entire Sermon on the Mount, go read the whole thing, starting in Matthew chapter 5. He's trying to set up this idea that God's law is not a mistake and that Jesus came to fulfill God's law. He says it earlier on the Sermon on the Mount here in chapter 5, verse 17. Don't misunderstand why I've come. I didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, Jesus said, verse 20, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So what Jesus is doing here is he's trying to communicate to his listeners that the law matters and that perfect obedience to the law is the requirement for salvation. I want you to hear that. Perfect obedience to the law is the requirement of salvation. And he's setting up this whole big problem that you can't be perfect. That's why Jesus came. This is what he's saying here. I came to be the perfect one, to perfectly fulfill the law. And the reason he's doing that is so that when we put our faith in him, that perfection of Jesus is credited to our accounts and we can be saved by faith, not by faith in our works, in our perfect keeping of the law, because we can't, but saved by grace through faith. See, this is the core message of Paul and of Jesus, is the purpose of the law is to show us that we're all sinners, that we're all broken. And this is what Jesus is communicating in the Sermon on the Mount. All right, so now let's take a look at what he's quoting in James. He's quoting from James chapter 2, and he's got this right that James is a little brother of Jesus, okay? James was a leader in the early church. He was not one of, he wasn't the apostle James like Peter, James, and John. He wasn't that James. He was the James from Acts chapter 15 who stood up, and he had some leadership in the church in Jerusalem. And in his letter, which we have in our Bible, in the New Testament, which, by the way, was the very first of all the New Testament writings to be written down, this is what James says. Chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? And he says this, verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. And this is what this guy is quoting. He says, look, this is the gospel of Jesus, okay? James was quoting his big brother Jesus, and James was aligning with Jesus, which basically is to say that James is teaching that we're not saved by faith, we're saved by our good works. This is what this guy is saying. He's saying, look, this is what James is teaching, and this is what Jesus was teaching. Be a good person. You still have to do good works to be saved. And this guy is saying that that's a different gospel message than what Paul preaches when he says that we're saved by grace through faith. But the truth of the matter is, this guy not only misunderstands the book of James, he actually misunderstands the message of Paul in his letters. Let's go back to chapter 1 of the book of James, and we're going to see in verse 18 the very first time that the gospel message of grace, which is the message of Jesus and Paul and of James, was ever written down. Look, it says this in James 1:18. He chose, talking about God, God chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we out of all creation became his prized possession. Now, the reason I say this is the very first time the gospel was ever put down pen to paper is because James, as I said, is the first one to write down any of these New Testament letters. And he writes this message. Now, it's not using the exact same wording of Paul and Jesus, but look at what he's saying here. He's saying that God gave birth to us. This is the language that Jesus uses with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when Jesus says you must be born again. In other words, you can't work for your salvation. This is a miraculous thing that happens on the inside through God and his gracious gift to us. So when James says that God gave birth to us by giving us his true word, he's articulating this message that Paul, later on in his letters, gives different and more specific words to. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 are probably the most famous articulation of the gospel message that this guy is saying is different than Jesus's message. Paul writes this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Now stop right there. This is the gospel message of Paul. He says it all over the place in his writings. We saw it in James 1 verse 18, and actually we see it in much of what Jesus says as well. But here's where I think that this guy misreads and misunderstands Paul. Paul doesn't stop at verse 9. Look at what he says in verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So look, right there in Paul's writings, over and over and over again, Paul is not saying just simply confess and then just go live however you want. Paul never teaches that. Paul doesn't say that in any of his letters. He says, profess your faith in Jesus, come to faith in Jesus, trust in his work on the cross, and then you'll be saved. And then the result of that is going to be a life that is different, a life that has changed. And I think the best verse to end on to put this topic to rest can be found in John chapter 6. In verse 28, the people came to Jesus and they said, hey, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? And Jesus told them this, verse 29, this is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one that he has sent. He's talking about himself. So for anyone to claim that Jesus's message was different from Paul's message, that Paul said, just put your faith in Jesus, trust in Jesus for salvation, and Jesus taught something else, that person cannot be trusted. Read the Bible for yourself, and you'll see Jesus and Paul were fully aligned. The gospel is clearly taught, not just throughout the New Testament. The gospel is clearly taught throughout the entire Bible. So don't fall for false teachers like this guy. Jesus, Paul, James, Peter, every single author in the Bible was driving toward one single unified gospel message. We're saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross.
Listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.